Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Solid rock is Jesus.
Yes, sir.
In times like these, it's a good thing that he never leaves you.
Amen.
Always there. No matter what it might look like, he's always there. He is a solid rock.
Yes.
Come together. Yes. This morning, giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who is certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Riley in his absence, Reverend McMillan, my lovely wife, and the part of my church family that is here. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and as always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for your servant has nothing to say until you come.
Yes.
Speak, Lord, for someone is waiting. Speak, Lord, for someone needs to hear from you. Speak, Lord. Oh Lord, we call on you this morning. For we know that there's no one else to call on
but
me. But we know that you are all powerful and all knowing, and you know everything that's going on. You know every thought that we may have.
Yes, you do, Father. You know.
Speak, Lord. Speak the word that we need to hear on this day.
Yes.
For there is no other way for us to know the way to go except you speak. Use me, Lord. Use me any way that you see fit, Lord, but speak a word on this day. We call on you, Lord, because we know that we can count on you. We call on you because we know that you have never, ever failed. We call on you, Lord, because we know that you love us. We call on you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts. In the first chapter. Book of Acts, chapter 1. And we'll be beginning with the first verse. I'm going to read, starting probably down to verse 4, and then I'll skip and I'll guide you as I do so. Acts, chapter 1. Says, the former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now if you just skip down to verse 7, said, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, as we move ever closer to the day of Pentecost, and we continue on the same topic, the overall topic being between Calvary and Pentecost, I just want to give us a quick review on, you remember the article that I probably brought up several times, but just to put us where we should be, is the article that comes from Dr. Jerry Vines, and he talks about where most Christians are in most churches. And he says that the average Christian and the average church are somewhere bogged down between Calvary and Pentecost. They have been to Calvary to get their pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost to get their power. So we're on this road to Pentecost. We're already saved, and many will say I'm sanctified, and others may say I'm being sanctified, but I'm on my way, and some will say I got the Holy Ghost, so I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And others may say that I've never been filled. Some say I've been filled, but I hadn't been for a while. And
all right,
I need to be refilled. Mm-hmm. Somewhere on the road between Calvary and Pentecost. Jesus came to be God with us. When he came as Jesus, and he died at Calvary to be God for us.
All right now.
Because he knew that there was something that we owed that we could never repay. So he died in our stead to pay our debt. God for us. And then he came with power at Pentecost so that he could serve as God in us. Give us power. But see, our problem is that too many of us don't really understand the role of the Holy Ghost.
Come on now.
So too many have not appropriated the power of the Holy Ghost in their own personal lives.
You say, I
know who the Holy Ghost is, and I read my Bible, and I'm a good Christian, but I'm walking without power. It's like when Peter said, he said, have ye received the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Since ye believed. Some said to him, we don't even know if there be any Holy Ghost.
Come on now.
So too many of us don't use the Holy Ghost as we ought to use it. Many of us are not submitted to the power of the Holy Ghost as we ought to be. This scripture today tells us, as he spoke directly to the apostles, but indirectly,
yes,
he speaks to us.
That's right.
But it tells us two things this morning. One thing is, as we're on this road from Calvary to Pentecost, it tells us what we ought to be doing.
What we ought to be doing.
And the second thing it tells us is where we ought to be doing it. So what we ought to be doing and where we ought to be doing it. Verse 3 says, the B part of that verse says, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. So he's going to tell us what we ought to be doing. We ought to be seeking the kingdom of God. On this road from Calvary to Pentecost, where we've been saved and we know we have the Spirit within us, because we got that when we first believed.
All right now.
But we're not expressing ourselves often enough with power. The world is not seeing who we really are because we're not walking with the power that's available to us.
That's right.
So he says to us, as you own this road, as you seek God, that's what you ought to be doing constantly, seeking him. And then in the fourth verse, he commands them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So he told them what to be doing and where they ought to be doing it. He told them to wait in Jerusalem. That's what he told his disciples. But he says to us to wait in that place where you first met Jesus. Wait in that place that you last were communing with Jesus, the last place that you saw Jesus, the last place that you know he was at. That's where you ought to wait. Tarry there. Don't go anywhere until you are endued.
Hallelujah.
With power. Stay right there. Wait. So the two things he tells us is to seek the kingdom of God and to wait in the last place that you saw Jesus. We're going to look at those two things briefly this morning. What we ought to be doing, seeking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And the entire verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. He does that with us today. He shows us all the time.
Yes.
Getting us in and out of stuff. And
yes.
But being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So you ask the question, so what are some of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God? So the first question we try to answer, the question, it pertains to the kingdom of God. So the first question would be, what is the kingdom of God?
What is it?
We read it, we study it all the time, but not too many really know. They don't go deep enough to really understand. What is the kingdom of God? The first thing about the kingdom of God is a message of hope.
A message of hope.
Matthew records this message of hope as the gospel or glad tidings of the kingdom. Yeah. Matthew 23 says, and Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. In Matthew 4:17, he calls the kingdom of heaven. 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A message of hope. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a message of hope. A message of hope. Matthew 25 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what you want to hear when your Father says, come in, my good and faithful servant.
Yes.
You don't want to be one on the left when he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. But it is a word of hope. Message of hope. And then secondly, the kingdom of God is a state of being. A state of being in the presence of God. So if you can just imagine with me, if you would, when you're in a state of being in the presence of the Lord all the time.
Jesus.
Being in his presence. A state of being. The greatest expression that we have of the kingdom of God is Jesus.
Yes.
When he came down, he was God with us.
Yes.
He showed us the way and he humanized himself so we could understand it. So he could show us how to walk as a human. He came down and communed with us. God with us.
Yes.
Teaching us how to walk and constantly being in the presence of the Lord. So it's a state of being.
State of being.
In the presence of the Lord. Let me see if I can expound on that just a bit more. That one of the dictionary definitions I found, it defined contentment as the state of being mentally and emotionally satisfied with things as they are. State of being mentally, emotional, satisfied with things as they are. That's a tough one for humans to relate to. When we don't have anything, we want everything.
Yeah.
When we have everything, we still want something else. But when you're in the state of being in the presence of God, Paul describes it, contentment. Whether I got much or little, it really doesn't matter. If I'm in the presence of the Lord, I'm content. I was speaking with someone and they said, more contentment. And I said, I don't believe that's a thing. I don't think you can be more than content. But that just shows how humans do things. We can't even get enough of contentment, but content says you're content.
You're satisfied.
But even we won't. More than that.
Give us more. More and more.
So it's rare today to find anyone that's truly content with their condition in life. But the Bible, when it talks about contentment, it says, being satisfied with what we have, who we are, and where we're going. Matthew 6:25 says it like this: therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Contentment, a state of being in the presence of the Lord. So what is the kingdom of God? Contentment. A state of mind. All is well. Matthew 6:32 says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, a lack of contentment is sin. The kingdom of God, a state of being in the presence of the Lord all the time. The kingdom of God is living the abundant life. John 10:10 described, he said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich and famous. It means you will be content. I really don't think it gets any better than being content. If you can be content and find peace, it's the peace and contentment. Don't that sound good? Peace and contentment. It's peace. We look around right now, and everybody's mind, it may be some that are sitting right now in a place called peace and contentment in the kingdom of God, but most are, man, Monday, what have I got to do Monday? What did I leave at the office on Friday? And what's my children got to do next week? And but just to be at peace and contentment. Say, whatever I got to face, God's got it.
Yes.
I'm in the kingdom of God. I walk and I talk in the kingdom of God. I'm in his presence all the time. So I'm in peace and contentment. Better not leave y'all there too long. That's a place you'll fall asleep. He says, contentment. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. What is it? It's also a literal place in the heavenly dimension. So many might have the question, is the kingdom of God a literal or a figurative kingdom? And Jesus called it a mystery. When he spoke to his disciples, Jesus said, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. If they're not in the right place, you'll miss it. The kingdom of God will be established on the earth when Jesus returns. The time that the kingdom is established will be after Christ's return to earth. Revelation 11:15 states, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So Jesus told his disciples that when the kingdom was established, they were set on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So heaven is a literal place. Hallelujah. A literal place, as well as a state of being and a message of hope. So, what we should be doing as we are on this road from Calvary to Pentecost is seeking the kingdom of God. Now, where should we be doing this? Where should we be waiting? Wherever you last met Jesus. The last time you found peace. The last time you found contentment.
All right.
See, most of us in this world, we go up and down. Mm-hmm. Up and down. Sometimes I'm so high, I don't know which way to go. It's me and my God, we can do anything. I feel so good. I can take on the world now. And the next minute, I feel like I did take it on. So we should wait in that place where God, Jesus told his disciples, wait there till you are endued with power. When the world gets you down, just wait right there and find that place where you last saw Jesus and wait there till he comes again and endues you with power to get up and face whatever it is, no matter how tough it may seem. Wait until you're endued with power. You can't do anything without power. You keep doing the same thing over and over again. You keep trying the same thing, running up against the same wall, but you have no power. Wait till you're endued with power. Stay in the place where you last saw Jesus. Acts 1:4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith unto you, you've heard of me. His disciples said, so when will that time come? Jesus said, it's not for you to know.
All right.
The times or the seasons that the Father has in his powers. What you should do is just stay right there.
Yes.
Where you met Jesus. Stay right there where you last saw Jesus. Stay in the area that you know you can find Jesus. Because until you find him, you will not find any power.
All right now.
From Calvary to Pentecost. Calvary. When you were, the Spirit indwell you. Calvary. When you first believed, when you started this walk, when you first believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and right then you were indwelled with power. That was Calvary.
Yes.
But now you're waiting.
Waiting.
For Pentecost.
Yes.
You're waiting for the power,
yes,
for the Holy Ghost to fall on you again.
Yes.
So that you may be endued with power from on high. And when the Holy Ghost falls on you, it has a purpose. It says when the Holy Ghost falls on you, you can do things that you couldn't do when you were just working on your own.
Yeah.
When the power falls on you, it has a particular purpose. It has a purpose of empowering you to do something.
Yes.
That thing that you think you can't do, that task or that job, that thing that you can't get to, I don't see how I can do it. And you're right, there's no way that you can do it, but you serve a God that can do anything. If you would just wait for him to empower you. If you would just stay right there in Jerusalem, that last place that you saw him, you just stay right there until he empowers you.
Yes.
And he can empower you to do all things. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, my Bible tells me that the Holy Ghost fell on that place.
Yes.
And when it fell on that place, it empowered them to speak in tongues so that people of various countries could hear the word, or it translated the word for them. So it gave them power to speak in tongues. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost falling on you. It's to let you do things that's not humanly possible.
All right now.
When the Holy Ghost falls on you,
yes,
you'll find power.
Power.
So in the old day of Pentecost, in the Old Testament, Israel received the law. Mm-hmm. The New Testament day of Pentecost, the church received the Spirit of grace.
Yes.
Power from on high.
Yes.
He sent the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So that we can do all things. From Calvary to Pentecost. We're almost at Pentecost. Mm-hmm. And I think I took off without actually giving you something to put at the top of your page. You can put that there. Almost to Pentecost.
Almost to Pentecost.
And that will be part one, almost to Pentecost. And next week, so I can tease people. Make sure you.
Don't miss next week.
Don't miss next week. It'll be important. We will talk about this battle. It's not yours. Mm. Another way you could say it is, the fight is fixed. You're going to win. Don't even have to worry about this battle that we're in. The fight is fixed. Everybody know that but Satan. If we stay where we ought to, we're going to win. We'll talk about that next week. Almost to Pentecost, that'll be part two.
Okay.
Tell all your friends. And tell them, because next week's going to be the season finale.
Be there or be square.
If you miss the season finale, it won't be any use to come back next season. Let us pray. Christ is the eternal God, he who knows all things and sees all things. Oh Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for being patient with us. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are, because you are God all by yourself. And you're patient with us. You give us first, second, third, fourth, and on. You give us more and more chances, Lord. And Lord, we just want to thank you for being who you are. Oh, Lord, we pray right now that you just come right now and touch everyone gathered here, Lord. Touch their families and guide and lead us, Lord, and show us what you would have us to learn, and keep us in your storehouse of knowledge and wisdom that we can speak those things that you would have us to speak. Oh, Lord, we call on you because we know that we can count on you. We call on you right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.